Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, another topic that's been in the news quite a bit of late, and of course, a very important part of an overall well-balanced diet, well-balanced financial plan, is the subject of Social Security. Don't tell me you haven't heard of it. It's always in the news, and it's an important part of retirement. And there's a lot of discussion, of course, when we get into politics about how long Social Security will last. Will it be there? Is it sustainable? Will it change and all this and all that? But I think it's realistic to expect that Social Security is not going anywhere, and it can be part. It's been sometimes referred as one of the legs of the three-legged stool for retirement income. So we're going to dig into this a little bit, and we're really fortunate to have a returning guest. Margarita Correa is our guest. She's an associate editor of Bank Investment Consultant. That's the publication, bankinvestmentconsultant.com. And the publication covers retirement and investment issues, as well as business regulatory topics that matter a lot to, of course, advisors, especially those that are in the bank environment. And she's been writing for them, Bank Investment Consultant, for 4 years. Articles also appear in the sister publication on Wall Street and Financial Planning Magazine. So very good to have her. She's won 2 awards for an article she wrote on the problems advisors face when working with clients who are suffering from Alzheimer's. We might touch on that as well, and other forms of dementia. And so we're real pleased to have her here. So Margarita, thank you for being with us and welcome back.
Well, thank you, David. It's really nice to come back on the show again. Thank you.
All right, excellent. Well, we're going to get our money's worth here. I know there's a lot to talk about, and so I want to dive in, and we really enjoy following your work and seeing really interesting and relevant articles that apply to a lot of people as they think about what they want to do with retirement and how they position their assets and also how, you know, things like Social Security are part of the equation. As we dig into this, one of the things I was going to ask you is, you know, what are some of the things that you've seen that kind of are kind of the big issues or the big, you know, the big question marks maybe that people have had as you've done your interviews and you've done your research for this? You know, is there any one or two or three things that you would point to and say, hey, look, this, here's a couple of things that are really a big deal as it relates to this subject?
Right. Well, I think one of the big issues is just the complexity of Social Security. You know, there's so many details, there's so many different options that people sometimes get very confused and, you know, make mistakes. They don't always, they oftentimes, you know, make mistakes in terms of how to go about claiming, you know, their benefit. And very often they're unaware of all the different benefits available to them. For example, there are spousal benefits, there are survivor benefits, there are back benefits. And many people, if they're not well informed, may miss out, you know, on some of these things. And over the course of their lifetime, they could really shortchange themselves. So one is just a lack of familiarity or lack of knowledge as to how the Social Security program works.
And
just overall lack of knowledge.
Sure. Well, the government's not going to all of a sudden say, oops, our mistake, here's an extra $20,000 that we didn't pay you because we didn't, you know, I mean, you've got to be your own advocate in this area.
Absolutely. You know, there's this one benefit when you're claiming spousal benefits, and if you're beyond your full retirement age, you can claim back benefits. You can get a lump sum payment of up to 6 months worth of back benefits. But the Social Security office is not going to tell you about that. You have to ask the Social Security office to give those benefits to you. So that's something that some people may not be aware of and may miss out on.
That's a good point. And the complexity, you know, there are different tools out there that people can avail themselves on. There are internet-based tools. There are software programs. And, of course, there are advisors, as you know, Margarita, that are trained in Social Security. I've been to training myself, and I have 2 people in my office that have obtained a national Social Security certification And that kind of speaks volumes to the complexity, right? That there has to be training for financial advisors who specialize in advising people about Social Security, that there's enough for them to be certified in it.
Right.
Yeah, it's really it's interesting. So the other issue, and I wanted to get your thought on this, how often do you see in the work you've done in writing this, some of these recent articles on Social Security, and maybe some of this is feedback from some of the advisors you've talked to, how do people approach the Social Security question? Is it a matter of saying, okay, let me just figure out what the maximum benefit is? How do I get the most juice I can out of this lemon? Or is it more of a consideration of their specific situation to make Social Security fit into their personal situation as opposed to maxing it out?
Well, I just try to get real life examples mm-hmm. of real life examples of how Social Security works. And from the examples that I've gathered, because these stories are really mini case studies, the sense that I get is people go to their advisors to find out what would be the best way for them to claim this benefit. So I think it's not so much with the idea of how am I going to get the most out of this, but how does this fit into my life situation. I don't know. How has it been for you? You know, do you find that, people are thinking strategically about how to claim, or is it more, how it fits into their life, at the stage of life that they're in?
You know, it's a good question, Margarita. It's actually, I think, three things that are in play for every person. One is, of course, how do I get the most out of Social Security? Number two, how do I make it fit my situation? And then number three, how soon can I get it? So it becomes a question for people. A lot of times they'll come in and meet with me and they'll have one of those things in their mind or all three. And that's where the advisor needs to help them really tailor it to their situation, but also to educate. And you spoke about this earlier, to educate them on some of these techniques, and the techniques have evolved a little bit in light of that, the budget reconciliation that they did in Congress and the president from a budgetary standpoint with changing some of the options that were available and when they're available to certain people. But on the whole, there is a lot of education that still needs to be done for people to understand that you do have the option of drawing on your spouse's Social Security earning record and waiting to draw on your own, and then how you do that and when you do that and what are some of the practical applications. So it's all of the above, but then I think that's where the advisor has to educate and then help them really tailor it to their specific circumstance.
Yeah, I think that's also been, my take on what I've taken away from the advisors that I've spoken to who have shared their Social Security situations with me. So I guess all three things are very important.
That it is, definitely. And I think that's why, of course, why we need to talk about it like we are today. If you're just joining us, Margarita Correa is our guest, Associate Editor of Bank Investment Consultant. That's the publication, bankinvestmentconsultant.com. And we're going to grab a quick break. We'll come back with Margarita and get into some examples of what we're talking about, some specifics to illustrate the points we're discussing. Stay right there. A quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, and I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I focus on representing divorcing spouses over the age of 50. For those previously divorced individuals who desire to marry again but want to avoid the expense and acrimony of another contested divorce, I specialize in drafting prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. You can contact me in our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit my website at ricerosenlaw.com.
Does getting financial advice seem like a game of cat and mouse? Maybe it's time to hire a fiduciary, a financial professional who puts the needs of his clients ahead of his own. A fiduciary also means an advisor should recommend products and services he believes will best serve his clients' needs, not what an insurance company or investment company tells him he has to sell. Next time you're talking to an advisor, ask him, are you a fiduciary? yes or no? If the advisor doesn't know, then the answer's probably no. This public service announcement is brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Hey, David Holland here. I'd like you to listen closely to a few words from my good friends, Tony Papandrea and Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation.
Hi, I'm Tony, chairman of the Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation. If you need more income now with some tax advantages and would like to leave a future benefit for Florida Hospital Hospice Care, a charitable gift annuity might be a good fit for you. Learn how to include charitable gift annuities in your financial planning. They could benefit you with higher tax advantage yields than you are getting now and benefit Florida Hospital Hospice Care later. Call us at 386-586-4440 for more information.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Margarita Correa with us as well. Glad she's with us, Associate Editor of Bank Investment Consultant. The website, you can go in, you can, of course, read the archive of articles that Margarita has written, and a lot of great opportunity for additional learning and education there. Go to the website at bankinvestmentconsultant.com. And, you know, one of the stories that I saw, there's a lot of stories we can get to here, Margarita, with some examples of what we're talking about. But I know that one of the advisors you had interviewed about how people are using Social Security and some of the different questions or issues that come up was, you know, there's more to the story than just money in many situations. You had the advisor that the woman that was being advised, she was looking at drawing her Social Security, and there was a question about how she would do a calculation of Social Security and whether or not she would want to draw off of her ex-husband's benefits. Give us kind of a rundown of what that story was about.
Well, she was 66 years old, and she was divorced. She was full retirement age, and she didn't even know that she was eligible for an ex-spousal benefit. So when she found out about this, she was very reluctant to even take advantage of it because she didn't want to have anything to do with her husband, her ex-husband. You know, she had moved on, and she really didn't want any association with him. So, you know, the advisor that she sought out told her that this would be, you know, it's an ex-spousal benefit. It would add to her retirement income. It would be an additional income stream. And she would also be able to, while she was receiving this ex-spousal benefit, she could delay claiming her own benefit, right, allowing that benefit to grow at 8% annually. So, you know, from a money perspective, it really made sense for her to, you know, to claim this benefit. But as is often the case with people, you know, when people think about their ex-spouses, they're not always objective. So the role of the advisor in this particular case was to kind of look at the situation very objectively. And, you know, and she also reminded her that her ex-spouse would not need to know or wouldn't know that she was collecting this ex-spousal benefit. So that made her feel better, and she decided to go ahead and claim that benefit, which was $1,200 a month, or half of what her ex-spouse's benefit was.
The big kicker is that then let her own benefit grow by about 8% a year from 66 to 70. Because then at 70, she could flip back over to her own and have probably a pretty significant benefit of somewhere between $2,500 maybe and $3,000 a month.
That's right. It actually would grow to $2,900.
What a good guess, wasn't it? Okay, I confess, Margarita, I've done this a couple of times with the calculation. Well, you know, there is a lot of emotional part of some of these financial decisions. You know, we think it's all about the money, and sometimes it's not. And, you know, if I had been advising her, I would have probably tried to lighten the mood a little bit and say to her, look, you paid for it. You earned it. Consider it, you know, severance pay. I mean, consider it compensatory payments, whatever we call that, recuperative payments for maybe some of the frustrations and suffering along the way.
Right.
You know, at least to, you know, feel better about it. But you're right. That's the thing a lot of people don't know. You don't need the ex-spouse's cooperation.
Right.
You know, you don't need their cooperation to take it, because you go right down to the Social Security office and you have their, just make sure you obviously have their Social Security number and then proof of the marriage and whether they're alive or deceased. And there are certain requirements, but you know, for the length of the marriage, but you can draw off of their benefits.
Yes.
So I just think that's very wise. And, you know, some people, when they arrive at this decision point, Margarita, about what they will draw, some people have multiple choices. It's kind of like, it's kind of like being able to design your own blue plate special or your own, you know, custom menu of how you're going to, what you want on your pizza. I mean, you can kind of look and say, here are the different things I can draw off. And that's where getting the advice and having somebody do the analysis for you with software to run the different scenarios, that's why it's so important. And that brings me to another really key point that certainly was probably a factor in the example you've given, but it's very often an example or important ingredient. That's longevity. Your expectations of longevity, the longevity in your family, history of longevity, that has an enormous impact on which technique or strategy and when we should start drawing Social Security.
Absolutely. I mean, if longevity runs in the family and if you're in very good health, you know, chances are you're going to live, many years, but beyond 65. And you need to plan for that because people are living longer and longer. So, you should definitely consider your health and the point at which you want to start claiming benefits. If you're not in such fantastic shape, it may not be a bad idea to claim your benefit, you know, at full retirement age and not try to wait until you're 70.
That's a great point, Margarita. You know, if nobody in your family lives past 70 and you are afraid to buy green bananas, then maybe you need to go ahead and elect at 62. But if you've got an aunt and a mother or, you know, that's 105, well, you know, maybe you want to delay as long as you can.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's got a lot of wrinkles to it and pieces to it. And I've had people that I've talked to, Margarita, that they might be getting another source of income for a period of time. Maybe they have some sort of, you know, income that they will receive from their employment, or they have some source of income that they have maybe from, say, 60 to 70. Well, that might serve them as a bridge before they have to take Social Security and let it grow all the way up to age 70. And at 70, that's pretty much when most people draw it if they haven't already, because there's no additional benefit of waiting, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So there are factors here that people need to think about, but that's definitely a consideration. Now, when we look at people on the flip side, well, we'll set this up and we'll go to a break. I want to talk about people that maybe the choice about drawing earlier versus later, because there are some very good reasons to draw early. You know, there's a little bit of a bias or a bit of a heavy emphasis on delay, 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 but there are some very good reasons for drawing earlier. Let's grab a quick break. We'll come back and talk about those. Margarita Correa, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest today, Associate Editor, Bank Investment Consultant Magazine. That publication, you can find more information at bankinvestmentconsultant.com. Quick break, word from our sponsors, right back.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Support The Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y, for a better us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services, including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
Hi, this is Mike Peerless, NMLS number 1073735, Reverse Mortgage Director for Holland Mortgage Services, a subsidiary of Holland Financial. It used to be that people considered a reverse mortgage as a loan of last resort, In fact, our company's founder and host of this program, David Holland, was a skeptic himself. However, after many client requests, David investigated this product thoroughly and decided that a reverse mortgage could fit into one's overall financial plan. Holland Mortgage Services is a licensed Florida broker, and we can help you refinance your existing mortgage and stop making ongoing monthly mortgage payments. However, you're still responsible for payment of property taxes, homeowners insurance, and HOA fees. You can also tap your home's equity to pay off credit cards or put cash in the bank. Call 386-671-7526 today for a free evaluation. Sometimes, to move forward, you need to go reverse. That number again is 386-671-7526. Holland Mortgage Services, NMLS number 1432962.
Hey there, we're back.
Hi there.
All right, Margarita, let's continue our conversation. Margarita Correa, ladies and gentlemen, our guest today, associate editor of Bank Investment Consultant, and the website is bankinvestmentconsultant.com. I set it up there before the break. You know, there are some very valid reasons, and again, this is where the planning comes in, Margarita, as you well know, of people looking at when to draw. There is some good reasons to draw early.
Right. Well, I guess one of the main reasons is if you need the income. If you don't have a job, if there are no other sources of income, you may have no choice but to draw.
I know.
Benefits early.
Yeah, because some of what we hear, you know, again, what is talked about in financial planning circles or maybe in the media or whatever is that delay, delay, delay. But I always say, well, wait a minute, let's look at the specific situation. And you hit it number one on my list is if you lose your job or your health doesn't permit you to continue to work and you don't have another source of income, then there's nothing to talk about. I mean, conversation
right.
Over. We need to go get our Social Security. The other I see sometimes is people are working part time. And they just don't make, they want to work past 62. Then maybe they plan to work to 70, but they aren't able to quite make enough. You know, maybe they're only able to work part-time because of their family situation. Of course, I'm sure you also are very aware of the number of people that are caregivers for spouse or other family members. And, you know, they may only be allowed from just their own personal situation of only working maybe part-time. Then the Social Security could really be a lifesaver for supplementing their income.
Absolutely. But one thing to keep in mind is that there is an earnings test. So if they're making more than $15,720, I believe, half of that gets withheld.
You're exactly right. There is a max on, and people get twisted up on this a lot, Margarita. Let's break that down. If you're under your normal retirement age, and for a lot of people say that's 66, and you make more than that, you know, let's just round it to $16,000. You make more than $16,000 a year, then you'll lose benefits from Social
right.
Security.
Well, I'm not sure that you lose it, but it's withheld.
Right. You lose it in the you don't get it when you want it.
Exactly.
And you could definitely catch up later. The other thing that people get twisted up on is taxation. You know, that has nothing to do with your age or the earnings per se, except that it's your 50 to 85% of your Social Security could get pulled in and taxed depending on how much income you make in total, including a formula that includes Social Security as part of the calculation. So there is those two things are distinct, not getting it because you're making too much money and you're retired before 66, and then just flat out, regardless of when you are getting it, if you've got Social Security benefits, you make over, you know, $25,000, $30,000 all in, then, you know, as much as 85% of your Social Security could be taxed.
Right.
Yeah, it's something a lot of people don't really think about. You know, the other one that I thought is interesting is that people could, we talked about maybe they have a source of income and they might know that, say, at age 70, they're going to be the beneficiary of a trust or that there's going to be a pension that starts for their spouse. They might use Social Security to bridge until those other sources of income come into play, which is kind of the opposite of this whole idea of delaying. So there's a lot of strategies, aren't there, Margarita?
Oh, well, there are a lot of different situations, so you really need to pick what works for you.
Yeah. Well, and that is the key, and I know that you did a lot of research on this, and you know you found a lot of different scenarios. Any other scenarios that you have come across that you think we should speak to as maybe one that people need to be aware of?
I mentioned the back benefits
earlier.
It's, you know, something that people have been talking a lot about is what's called a restricted application, but this is a claiming strategy that is being phased out by the government.
Mm-hmm.
And we briefly touched upon it, but basically you can claim spousal or ex-spousal benefits, and then, you know, you're able to receive that benefit on a monthly basis, and you can delay claiming your own. And each year that you wait, you have an additional, you have 8% added to your monthly payment. So there's, you know, a definite advantage of being able to have a spousal benefit or an ex-spousal benefit for a certain period of time, and then you switch over to your own. Mm-hmm. However, to file this type of application, a restricted application, you must have, you must be 62. You must have reached your second 62nd birthday by the end of 2015. So, you know, that is a strategy that might work for, you know, many people who are eligible.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, the other thing that we talked about, Margarita, was the you know, if you claim and you're making more than that, say, $16,000 a year and you're still working, you made a very good point that it's not lost, but that it doesn't come back to you right away. You do get it back later, but it's not going to, it's going to come over time, right? They're going to, the Social Security will adjust your future benefits when you do get past that point. Once you get to your normal retirement age of, say, 66, then they'll kind of, you'll have your regular calculation, and then it'll get basically a boosted and added into your checks going forward.
That's true.
Yeah. So
yes, but although they take it out in one lump sum, it's
right,
not returned to you in a lump sum. So it's given back to you very gradually over time.
Well, that is not a surprise, Margarita, that they may have it that way, but good and helpful information. If you're just joining us, Margarita Correa has been our guest today, Associate Editor of Bank Investment Consultant, website by the same, bankinvestmentconsultant.com. Margarita, it's been great having you back, and we'll definitely do it again and continue to follow your work. And I'll encourage the listeners to go to the website and learn more about some very interesting articles that you're putting there. And we appreciate your contribution to the conversation and this very important subject that people need to look at.
Well, thank you, David. I really appreciate having been on your show.
All right.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.